This sermon on Ephesians 4, 1-16 was recorded at our Robina congregation on Sunday, March 3rd, 2019. It's titled, One Lord. For more information on Salt Church, visit us online at www.salt.church.
Morning, everybody. Great to be here with you. If we haven't met before, my name is Mike. Turned on, yes? Good. My name's Mike. I'm one of the pastors here. It's great that you're with us. We are working our way through the book of Ephesians. And this morning we hit the tipping point. We're getting towards the back end of the book. So it'd be great if you've got your Bible there. It's an opportunity for you to take some notes in the service sheet that was handed out. Or hopefully if you're still hanging in with us, you've got your serious companion and are taking notes. I'm going to pray as we come to hear God's word explained to us this morning together. Let's pray. Great God, we want to thank you that you are calling us from death to life, from being aliens and strangers and being separated to being brought near because of the blood of Jesus. As we hear this morning that you are building your church, would you help us know how we might build together and what part we all have to play in growing your church and building one another up? For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The purpose of the church is to be united together. God's plan is to unite all things in Jesus. The purpose of the church is to be united together. God's plan is to unite all things in Jesus. Mary was new at church. Well, when I say new, she'd been coming for a little while. Mary liked her new church. She liked everything about it. So she signed up for Startup, came along to the newish lunch. She made some new friends and wanted to be more involved with things at church. But as Mary looked around on Sunday morning, she wondered where she fitted in. What was her place in this new family? What role did she have to play in this church? Music team was full. Morning tea seemed very well covered. Being up front really wasn't her thing. Mary wondered where she might contribute, how she might fit in. She wondered where she'd fit. Bill, however, knew exactly where he fitted. He'd been involved in church leadership for a long time. He'd been in church ever since he followed Jesus. And over time, Bill had made some very big decisions. Decisions about church staff, decisions about property, decisions about money. If there was a committee to be on, Bill wanted to be on it. If there was a position available, he was the first to volunteer. Bill held power. He had influence. But Bill's influence wasn't as influential as it used to be. His voice didn't carry as it once did. Bill began to feel left out, passed over, largely ignored. The new direction wasn't following his plan, so he shared his disappointments with others. Carefully at first with a select few, then less carefully with a few selected more. Soon his disappointment consumed him, and it began to come out everywhere in every conversation. Bill became fixated on it. Sympathy led to support, which led to a split, which led to separation, and people started leaving the church. Leaving the church that Bill once helped to build. Alison knew her world was changing fast. Her own world was changing rapidly too. Everyone at work knew that she was a Christian. She hadn't kept it a secret. She hadn't exactly been advertising it either. Conversations at work became more frequent, more emotional, more intense. People kept asking her questions, all sorts of questions. Questions that Sunday school never answered, questions that youth group didn't engage with, questions quickly dismissed at her growth group. What do you think about this issue, Alison? Without notice. What do you think about that? They'd ask again. Alison knew that she believed in Jesus. She even knew why she believed in him. What Alison didn't have was answers to their questions. Questions that needed and required and deserved an answer. Alison felt bombarded, out of her depth. She wasn't prepared. She wasn't equipped. Even though she'd been a Christian all her life, Alison hadn't been given any training. Alison wasn't equipped properly. But the purpose of the church is to be united together. God's plan is to bring all things together in Jesus. We're in the middle of our series on Ephesians called Big Plans, because that's what God's doing in the world, isn't he? He's got big plans. Let's see it together again. Have you got your Bible there? Chapter 1, verse 10. The words are also on the screen. God's big plan is to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. That's God's big plan for everything, all things, heaven and earth, under Jesus. And here's God's purpose for us. God's got you here for a purpose. I don't know if you realize that. God's got a purpose for your life. There's a reason why you're here this morning, because you've been raised from death to life in Christ, chapter 2, verse 10. See it with me now. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're created in Christ Jesus, recreated to do the works he created for us to do. God has a purpose for the church. You have a purpose for being here in church. You know, we're actually doing something that's very significant. I don't know if you realize this. We're not just singing hymns and warming seats here on Sunday. There's a bigger picture at play here. God has a bigger purpose for his church. Here's his big plan for the church. See it, chapter 3, verse 10. Through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. That's the purpose for the church, making known the wisdom of God to everyone, everywhere. Chapter 1, verse 10, chapter 2, verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, God's big plan and purpose for all things everywhere. All those verse 10s in Ephesians. It's a happy coincidence, isn't it? A coincidence because the words are inspired, but the numbers are not. Now, if that's God's big plan and purpose for everything, all things being brought to unity in Jesus, the church demonstrating the wisdom of God, then it makes sense, doesn't it? Like it stands to reason that Paul would want the Ephesians to be united together in Jesus. See that with me, chapter 4, verse 1. I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. The purpose of the church is to be united together. God's big plan is to unite all things in Jesus, because Jesus brings us peace. Peace with God, peace with one another. Paul wants the Ephesians to be united, to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Humility and gentleness, patience and forbearance are the things that are to mark us out. Just by the way, it's really hard to crack it with people when they're being patient and forbearing towards you, isn't it? No point being cranky and begrudging with a humble and gentle person. Which is why I've got to tell you, it's very difficult to have a fight with my wife, Corinne. She's very patient and gentle with me. You've been united together in Jesus. So make sure you stay united by keeping the peace. The purpose of the church is to be united together. God's plan is to unite all things in Jesus. So let me ask you, how are you going with that? It's easy to become proud and indignant, isn't it? Easy to be careless and impatient with other people, letting loose with criticism and complaints rather than with encouragement and thankfulness. Is someone here you could be a little bit more patient with? Somebody amongst us that you might try a little bit more gentleness towards? You mightn't be able to stand that man for another minute, but you'll probably be spending eternity with him. And in Christ, eternity starts now. We're a new creation in Jesus. Unity can be so easily lost amongst us. And if you've been in churches long enough, you've probably seen that happen already. So let's us all, friends, make every effort to keep what it is that we've been given together. That's what it means to walk in a manner that's worthy of Christ. God's called us to be one in Jesus. Let's see it together there in verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Very easy to think that these verses are all about us. one hope, one faith, one baptism, one body. But this is how we're united to Jesus. This is how we get caught up into God's big eternal plans, how we become united with one another in his purposes. The over all and through all and in all, they're all about Jesus. It's all about God's big plans and purposes in Christ. That's what verses 7 to 10 are all about too. Look there with me, verse 10. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all in all. Well, that's all about Jesus, isn't it? Ascended and ascended to fulfill everything in every way. All and all in all, it's all about Jesus. It's all about him. It's what Ephesians has been all about so far too, hasn't it? God's big plan, one new man under the headship of one man, the Lord Jesus. The purpose of the church is to be united together. God's plan is to unite all things in Jesus. But come with me back up to verse 1, will you? Where Paul's labours to demonstrate the wisdom of God now have him landed in a prison cell. Where proclaiming the lordship of Jesus over everything sees Paul in chains for the gospel. I want us just to stop and to think about that together for a moment. The purpose of the church is to be united together. God's plan is to unite all things in Jesus. In which case can you see how we might have a competing agenda to the one that the world has? Can you see how if we're about these things, that they might not like us for it? How they speak of tolerance, but are intolerant towards Christianity. How they talk of inclusivism, but want to exclude us, silence us, prosecute and persecute us. I want you to see it here. Paul is in prison for the gospel. Our message is all about all things being united in Jesus. All things into one. Which is a very different from the world's message, isn't it? Who preach all things into nothing. Fluidity of human gender, the meaninglessness of marriage, the emptiness of words, the relativism of truth, the deconstruction of categories, meanings, and distinctions created by God, outlined in his word, watered down into insignificant nothingness, creation reduced to chaos. And it's easy for us to get caught up in it, easy to drift along with the rising tide of deconstructionism, bounce along with the latest moral outrage, riding the waves of human rights and inequalities and injustices everywhere. But I want you to remember with me back to the garden, where it all started with questioning God's created order. Our attempt to reverse what God called good. Listen again to the question from Eden. Did God really say? You see how clever their arguments are? See how cunning and crafty and convincing they've become? Not for the people of God. Not for you. Not for those of the new creation in Christ. Because we listen to the word of God. And we speak God's word to others. Look there with me at verse 14. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. It's the opposite of Eden, isn't it? We listen to God's word and we speak his word to other people. We believe that all things are being brought together to unity in Jesus. God has a big plan and a big purpose for everything. Not everyone likes that idea, do they? Telling people that they need to submit to Jesus as their Lord isn't very popular. It's never been very popular. And Paul's in chains for it. He's in prison. He's locked up. He's kept on a leash, silenced, and taken out of public circulation. Because people don't like being told to submit. Being told what to do is intolerable, isn't it? We think freedom comes from our many choices. We want to be Lord of ourselves and over others, rulers and authorities over our own lives. We think we know better. We think we can live without God. But when we're confronted with our own sin, when we're challenged by the Word of God, we go into hiding. It's just like Eden all over again. You know, they lock people away for saying this sort of stuff. They silence and separate us from everybody else. You ought not be surprised that it happens. You ought not be surprised when it happens to us. So the question is, how do we get prepared? How does each one of us play our God-given part? How do we work the way he's created us to work in the things that he's created for us to do? How do we maintain this unity that we've been talking about? How do we do that in an increasingly hostile and intolerant world? How do we carry out God's big plan and big purposes for God? Well, at the risk of sounding a little bit simplistic, unexciting, and perhaps a bit dull, just start reading your Bible. More than ever before, we need to be people of the Word, people of the book. God grows his church by his Word. It's through his Word that we're built up in our faith. It's through the Word that we attain knowledge and maturity, where we maintain the unity that we've been given. By growing together in the Word of God, we will reach unity in the faith. See that with me, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. There was once a church that had a notorious reputation for constantly turning over their pastors. Every 3 years, the parish council reviewed to their satisfaction the current pastor's performance. Invariably, they would ask for his resignation. Pastor Steve was on pins and needles as the meeting marking his third anniversary rolled around. He knew the church's history of removing their pastors, so he began to prepare himself for the inevitable. He talked with his bishop about another appointment somewhere. He contemplated leaving the ministry altogether. The night of the parish council, the chairman asked him, "Pastor Steve, as you know, we need you to step outside while we discuss some concerns amongst ourselves." With his heart palpitating, hands all sweaty, mum's spaghetti, Pastor Steve waited outside for what seemed like an eternity. Finally, the chairman invited the pastor back in. "Pastor Steve, we've reviewed your 3 years of ministry here with us, and unanimously we voted to renew your term." Relieved and in shock, Pastor Steve said, "Why, that's wonderful news. But this is the first here for many years, isn't it? How did you come to that decision?" "Well," said the chairman, "if it was up to us, we wouldn't have pastors in our church at all. But as long as the church says we have to have one, we figured you're the closest thing to not having a pastor." Now, friends, it's only been 5 weeks. 5 very good and wonderful weeks. Should I be nervous about the meeting this afternoon? You come and let me know, will you? But the role of the pastor, it's straightforward enough, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty clear in the Bible what the pastor's meant to do. The job description's there in verse 12. It's the pastor's job to be everybody's best friend. His job to do all the work at church, that's what we pay him to do. It's his job to grow the church, to fix the problems, to visit everybody, to chase ambulances, to hang out in hospitals. Maybe we should all look again at verse 12. "To equip the saints for the work of ministry by building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the faithfulness of Christ." See, my job, Adam's job, Greg's job is to equip you for ministry so that you might know your part to play here too. Our job is to help you grow the church so that we might all build up the body of Jesus together. And when you say it like that, it's no wonder people prefer pastors to come and have a cup of tea. So how do I prepare you for these things? How do I prepare you for ministry? How do we equip you to build up the body of the church? How is it that I shepherd you? Well, let me ask you this question first. What is it that all these people in verse 11, can you see them there? What is it that all these people have in common? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. What do they share in common? Well, they teach the word of God, don't they? They all speak the word of God to his people. That's how God grows his church. Preaching and teaching the Bible, friends, is the most important thing that I do. This is how we all attain to the unity of the faith. This is how we grow in the knowledge of the Son of God. This is how we all reach maturity in the fullness of Christ. This is how we don't bounce along on every wave and get blown in here by the latest trends, causes, and concerns. By speaking the word of God to one another. Not all of us are called to be evangelists, not all of us pastors and teachers, but Jesus gives these people to his church. I am not saying that I am gifted and you're not, although some people like to think I'm a little bit special. But God gives these gifts to put to his church in order to grow his church, because we've all got a part to play in growing the church. You see, all of us are called to be ministers of the word, to hear God's word and to speak it to others. All of us are called to be peacekeepers. All of us called to be bodybuilders. All of us called to be united, because the purpose of the church is to be united together. God's big plan is to bring all things in Jesus. We're the body. Christ is our head. All and all, it's all about him. All of us called to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. All of us called to walk and to work in the created works that he's created for us to do. We all have work to do. He's gifted his grace to each and every one of us. All of us have a part to play in the body that we belong to. This body, this church that God has placed all of us. Mary looks around on a Sunday morning and she wonders where she. And even though she's been coming for a little while, she starts encouraging people over morning tea. She talks about the Bible talk that she just heard. And she starts looking for ways to love people in her growth group. Bill, remember, he's disappointed with decisions and direction. But Bill's been reminded this morning from the Bible that Jesus is his peace. And so Bill starts seeking peace instead of making conflict. Eager to maintain the unity of the gospel that we all share together here. Instead of talking about his disappointments with everyone, he starts sharing them with those who've disappointed him. And Alison realizes that in a changing world, it's high time that she changed by getting herself prepared. So she speaks to one of her pastors, whose job it is to equip the saints for ministry, about how she might be better prepared to answer her friend's questions at work. See, we've all been given a part to play here at Salt Church. Good works that God has prepared for each one of us to do. So over to you, friends. It's your move next. What will you be doing to help build God's church here? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that your plan for the church is to bring all things together. That we might be united, because it's your plan to unite all things together in Jesus, that we are your body, that Jesus is our head. So help us to always be a church that's all about Jesus. We pray that as we encourage one another, as we speak God's word, as we hear it together, that we might play our part in building up one another. Help us to be people who hear your word and do what it says, rather than to question it, rather than to challenge it. Father God, would you please enable us to be a church that protects the unity that we've been given, so that more and more people might be included in Christ through us. Help us now to maturity Help us to attain to the fullness of Jesus. Grow in our knowledge of him. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.